you are part of something huge by your giving here. All right, take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Going to cover two promises today. Again, remember, we've been looking at this section where Jesus had told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. And after he told them, let not your heart be troubled, he told them, I'm going to leave you. And I'm sure the disciples' response was, yeah, right. What do you mean, don't let our heart be troubled? And he goes on and he tells them why their heart should not be troubled. He told them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He told them about prayer. He told them that they were going to be able to do great works. And so he's given them these promises that carry over to us as well, that we don't have to allow our heart to be troubled in troubled times. And so in verse 21, there's actually the final two, and rather than cover them individually, they're connected, and so I need to cover them together this morning. Jesus tells us two things here in verse 21. He tells them, first of all, that I'm going to love you. Pretty much there's about the greatest promise we could live with, that we could have. Jesus says, I'll love you. He tells those disciples, he tells his followers, you don't have to let your heart be troubled because I love you. And then he goes on and says, and if I love you, he says, I will make myself manifest to you. I will make myself manifest to you. And so I want us to look this morning at this verse and take it apart for a moment and understand some things about what he actually means and what he's trying to say, what he's saying to us when he tells us here that we don't have to be troubled because he will love us. Now, as we look at that, when you read that verse, it's easy, I think, for us to look at this verse and misconstrue it just a little bit. When it says, he who loves me, if you love me, he says, he goes on, he says, then you'll be loved by the Father, if you have my commandments, let me back up, if you have my commandments and keep them, that's the one, he says, that loves him. And he says, and if you love me, he'll be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And so as we look at that verse, it's easy for us, I think, to look and get things maybe, as the old saying, the cart before the horse, if you will, to get something I think that's really important for us to see, get it crossed up. A lot of people focus on that verse. When we look at that verse, we focus on the statement when he says, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, and says, well, there's the requirement in the verse, the requirement. We are required to keep his commandments, to have his commandments, and to keep them. I would suggest to you that's not exactly correct. I would suggest to you that the requirement is actually found after that statement, that he that has my commandments and keeps them is not a requirement that Jesus is saying here. The requirement, I believe, when you look at this verse, when he says, he it is that loves me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. The requirement is to love God. The requirement is to love him. That's what he's saying is necessary. The keeping his commandments is a result of loving the Father. And so the first thing that he says to us here is that we are required, that there is a requirement that we love God. And I found it really interesting that as you study this, all of us are familiar with the word. You hear a lot of sermons, a lot of people teach on this idea of agape love. And when people talk about agape love, if you're not familiar, agape love is typically the word that is used to describe God's love for man. Let me just run through my spiel for anybody who may have not heard it. In English, we talk about love. We throw love around very carelessly, in fact. We love chocolate. We love, sports. We love our mama. We love our children. And everybody knows when they hear those sentences that we love chocolate, love our mama, love our children, love sports, all in a different way. The Greeks had different words that they would use. If they were talking about how they loved their brother, they had one word. If they talked about the love of God, they had a different. And so the word that is usually used to describe the love of God is agape love. And that word is a sacrificial love. The curious thing to me here is I have grown accustomed to hear messages, to hear lessons, to hear people talk about how God has an agape love. A sacrificial love is really what that word is talking about, a love that sacrifices for someone else. And we know that the love of God is that kind of love, as the Bible tells us that He sent His Son to die for us. And so we know God has demonstrated sacrificial, He has demonstrated agape love. The curious thing to me is if you study this passage, you discover that what it says here is He that loves God. And the word that is used there for our love back to Him is agape love. Now, that strikes me as interesting. I am, accustomed to the idea. I have grown used to the idea. I understand the idea of agape love from God to me. But now, what when He turns around now and says, I'm supposed to love Him back in the same manner, not with the other word that the Greeks had was phileo love, which is where we get where the city Philadelphia is named from, brotherly love. We're not supposed to love God with a brotherly love. The other word that the Greeks use, and there's several, but the other main one was kind of like you might say you love someone in here. It's more of a you like someone kind of love, and that's really a poor Greek lesson. But this word says that we love God back the same way He loves us. And that really got me to thinking about that for a moment, about exactly what that means for us to love God back with a sacrificial love. To love God back with the same kind of love that He loves us. And first of all, as I thought about that, that's not unreasonable. Isn't that what we want from our spouse? You know, don't we want to be loved back with the same love isn't that a reasonable expectation of God to expect us to love Him back as seriously as He loves us? To be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to give, to be willing to surrender? Isn't that what loving God is about? That we are surrendering, that we give our will over to Him? Well, what do we pray in the model prayer? Father, not my will be done, but Your will be done. And so He's saying to us, Jesus says here, that as He talks about, and all this goes back to the statement, let not your heart be troubled. Well, can I suggest something to you as I thought that through, that the reason many people, their heart is troubled is because they're not loving God. Doesn't that make sense? Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, love me. And so logic says if our hearts are troubled, we're not loving God. We're not putting our confidence, we're not putting our trust in God the way that that he was trying to describe here, the way that that he meant for us to. And so we have a responsibility or requirement, he says, to love God. The requirement here is not so much on the commandments part, which is where a lot of people want to focus. We tend to say, we tend to kind of teach that way and tell people to live that kind of life. We want them, we go out and we actually tell people those kind of things. Well, you need to get your copy of the Bible and do what it says. Well, what is, okay, fine. But the most important thing the Bible says is what? What does it tell us is the most important commandment? To love him. That's the most important commandment that he gives us here, is he says that we are to love him. We are to follow him. And so when we have that, when we understand that, and we understand this ongoing love that we are to have for God, we understand the importance then of loving God. That everything else in our life revolves around loving God. See, here's the thing that I want you to understand. You can keep the commandments of God and not love God. Right? You agree with that statement? You can keep the commandments of God and not love God. There are people all around us, every one of us, and I'm not asking you to judge. You just know it to be a fact. There are lots of people in this world who have no relationship with God whatsoever. None. Who have not darkened the door of a church, who have not picked up a Bible, who have no personal relationship with God. And I would venture and say that many of them are more obedient to the commandments than some of the people sitting in this room. Not a single amen. You don't want to fess up to that one. Right? Would you agree with that statement? This is yes, this is no. There are plenty of people who keep the commandments. They don't lie, they don't steal. They live a good, honest life. But the fact of the matter is, they have no relationship with God. Y'all looking at me like I'm speaking in Chinese or something. You disagree with that statement? If so, come on up. You preach through. You know, right? Are you awake? I can't see you that good. You know, I see Nancy smiling. I see Faye smiling. Kenny's chewing his gum, I think. I believe. His jaws are moving. He's either chewing gum or talking to Sherry. I don't know. You know, but, Archie's writing in his little book. He's playing tic-tac-toe. I don't know. But there are people who keep the commandments of God who do not have a relationship with God. They keep those commandments. Why? Other reasons. Because mama told them to. Right? You know, when they were little, they got in trouble. Most of us, the people we know, for the most part, have been, and I kind of hate to use this phrase, raised right. You know. Most of us in here know the business end of a fly swatter. You know, we have been raised correctly. You know, most of us in here have, y'all don't know the business end of a fly swatter? Ann does, okay. You know, I've pulled up in front of Archie's mom and daddy's more than once, and I ran be chasing James around the front yard with a fly swatter. Told her he was going to call a wall on her for that. Most of us in here have tasted the wrong end of a bar of soap. You know, we've had our mouth washed out with soap. We have been, most people around us have been raised right. I know, I see the news, there are plenty of crooks, criminals, and all that other kind of stuff out there. But for the most part, people around us keep the commandments. But would you say that for the most part, the people around us love God? Wouldn't you agree that the majority of people around us, the majority of people in Cabarrus County, are lost? They have no relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the numbers say. That's what the demographics say. That's what they admit themselves when they are surveyed, that they don't have a relationship with God. But most of them you looked at, you would say, yeah, they're law-abiding, honest, upright citizens. But what Jesus says is the most important thing is that we love God. That we love the Father with a sacrificial love. One that says, I will allow my will to go undone so that the will of the Father can be done. I am willing to give up my wants, my desires, my ways, so that I can be led by the Father. That's what it means to love God. That we have the same type of love towards Him that He has towards us. Then, He says, and again, if you look at that, if you look at the verse, it's there. I'm not making this up. I'm really not. The requirement is to love God. The result is you keep the commandments. The result is you keep the commandments. The requirement is to love Him. The result is then you keep the commandments. As a child of God, we don't keep the commandments. We don't obey God because we're afraid of a lightning bolt coming out of the heavens and zapping us if we commit a sin. We love God, therefore we have a desire to keep the commandments. We love God. And so out of that comes a desire to live for Him and to please Him, to serve Him in whatever way He leads us. See, if you've got a healthy relationship with your spouse, that relationship, if you love your spouse, if you have a healthy, right relationship with your spouse, you don't do what you do because you are afraid of the divorce lawyer. You treat your spouse correctly. You live right by that spouse because you love them, right? If your relationship with your spouse is based on your fear of divorce, if your relationship with your spouse is based on your fear of paying child support or alimony or whatever, it's probably going to blow up eventually. But when your relationship and your give and take with them is based on love, then it's different, right? Are y'all with me? Does that make sense to you? We don't obey God because we're afraid that, you know, we don't even obey God because we're afraid of hell. If you're a child of God, you don't have to be afraid of hell. We obey God because we love God. Because we want to honor God. Because we want to please God. Because we have a sacrificial love for Him. You know, and I really think that if somehow, and even in Christians' heads, we could, if I could get that thought and I could get our minds to pivot onto that thought, and for us to quit trying to serve God off of a checklist. You know, I've talked about the checklist before. That many people are going, many believers go through their day and they get to the end of the day and they say, well, I didn't cuss, I didn't lie, I didn't steal, I didn't rob a bank, you know, blah, I didn't commit adultery, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. So I had a good day. think what would be a great benefit to believers, their lives, to the church, would be if we take that checklist and very righteously and holy tear it up into little bitty pieces. And at the end of the day, be able to say, I love God. My life today demonstrated that I love God. And if you love God, you will keep the commandments. You don't have to focus. We're focusing on the caboose instead of the engine. We don't, as believers, we don't have to focus on the checklist. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with knowing the Word of God, knowing what He said, thou shalt and thou shalt not do. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if we focus on our love for God, then those other things kind of fall in line. There are things, for example, if you've been married very long, let's see if I can think of something real quick. Okay, I'll give you an example. I don't have to ask Rhonda if she thinks it'd be cool if I went skydiving. I don't have to ask her. I already know the answer to that question. She'd say only if you go without a parachute. I don't have to ask her those things. After 37 years, I know the answer to that question. Why? Because we have a relationship. Because I love her. And I know her. And I've learned her. And so I don't have to. When I get up in that. Well, I was fixing to say she doesn't give me a checklist, but sometimes she does. When I get up in the morning, there's not a list laying on the table. Do this. Sometimes there is. Do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And she didn't have to leave me. I pretty well know. Why? Because I love her. And I know what would hurt her. I know what she likes. I know what she dislikes. And so I don't have to ask her if she wants me to bring her a box of chocolates. I know she doesn't like chocolate. I already know that. And if we work on our love with God, then all those thou shalls and thou shalt nots will take care of themselves. The requirement is to love God. The result is keeping His commandments. But as Christians, so many times, and so much of our preaching, so much of our teaching is getting up and ranting and raving. Don't do this, don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. You better quit it. Yeah, y'all know that. I've done it. Might do it again. Just wait till next week. I don't know. But I'm telling you that if we focus on love the Father, then the rest of the things begin to take place like they should. This is a beautiful verse, it really is. I only pray I'm doing it somewhere near justice. I hope you'll go home and study it yourself and get what I miss. If we love the Father, we will keep the commandments. And if we love the Father and keep the commandments, the Son says, I will love you, and I will make myself manifest to you. I will make myself manifest to you. If I would have announced this morning, if we would have made an announcement and said, be at Poplar Grove at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and you will be able to see Jesus. I would like to think, I don't know in this world anymore, but I would like to think we would have had a line out the door. I would like to think we'd have had to turn them away because we wouldn't have been able to get them all in the building. I don't know. But if I'm going to forget about telling the world that, and I'm going to say to the people in this room, let me tell you how to see Jesus. Love the Father. Allow the love of the Father to guide your life. And he says, if you do, I will make myself manifest. I will reveal myself to you. I want to see Jesus. How do we see? I want to see Jesus at work. I want to see Jesus in my home. I want to see Jesus in my family. I want to see Jesus in my church. How do I do that? I love the Father, allowing that to guide me and keeping the commandments. And Jesus will begin to reveal himself to me. Do you know what happens when Jesus begins to reveal himself to me? And I know more about Jesus and I see more about Jesus. I love him even more. You know what happens when I love him even more? I try to do more of it. I try to be more obedient and live like he would have me to. You know what happens when I try to be more obedient and live like he would tell me to? I see more of Jesus. You know what happens when I see more of Jesus? I love him more. You know what happens when I love him more? I want to live even more for him. When I live even, you know what happens? I see more of Jesus. You get the picture? It all begins with loving the Father. It all begins with our relationship with God. There are people, unfortunately, I believe, who are... One of the problems they had in biblical times was people being legalistic. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, liked to make a lot of rules. They had rules about how many steps you could walk on the Sabbath. They had rules about whether or not you could eat eggs that had been laid on the Sabbath. You know, they had rules about all kinds of things. And how well you kept the rules to them was how equated to how much you love God. They focused on the rules. We still in the church today focus on the rules. Well, if you loved God, you'd get a haircut. If you loved God, you wouldn't be going to the dance hall. If you loved God, blah, 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 fill in the blank. How many of you have heard those kind of statements? The focus in that statement is not on loving God. Honestly, the focus is on quit doing whatever it is that person doesn't like. If you love God, you'd listen to this kind of music. If you love God, you'd have that kind of Bible. If you love God, you'd wear this kind of clothes. We're focusing on the if you do this part instead of on the loving God part. There are people perhaps watching online today who have turned their back on the church, who have said, I don't want anything to do with it because I can't do or not do all the things that they say do or don't do down to church. I'm going to make it simple for you this morning. Whether you're here, whether you're online, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your spirit. Love him with all your strength, with all that you are. And you know what? That thou shalt not and thou shalt not stuff, it'll start taking care of itself. Because if you love God, you'll want to please him. If you love God, he'll begin to reveal himself to you. And you'll begin to learn what it is that need to be changed. You'll begin to learn. It won't be a checklist that some church gave you. It'll be what the Holy Spirit of God reveals to you and how he tells you to live. If you'll love God, you'll keep his commandments. And when you keep his commandments, you'll see more of Jesus. And the more you see of him, the more you'll love him. The more you see him, the more you love him. I'm not confident of a lot of things. I have my doubts. I am an extremely cynical person. The news media, the politicians, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a lot of them. Don't believe. Matter of fact, I'm about to the point where if they say it, if they tell me the sun's shining, I take an umbrella with me. That's about what I think of. But I'm confident on one thing. The more you see Jesus, the more you'll love him. The more you know about Jesus, the more you'll love him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And I want to ask you this morning to consider something for me. And this is a hard question to answer. But if you're here today, you're listening online, I want you to think about this question. Have you been more concerned about the checklist than you have about loving the Father? You hear today and you say, I know I'm a child of God. I know I've been saved. I want to see Jesus. I want to see him more in my life. I want to see him revealed in my life. I want to see him at work in my life. I want to see him at work in my church. I want to see him at work in my family. Then love the Father. Keep his commandments. And you'll see Jesus. And the more you see him, the more you'll love him. But this morning, whether you're watching online or sitting here in this room, if you've been trying to please God by keeping a checklist, checklist may have been given to you by the church, may have been given to you by a preacher, may have been given to you by a family member. Somebody's told you, you got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, don't do that, don't do this. The greatest commandment, Jesus says, is to love him. You don't know him personally this morning. You've been trying to please God by some checklist, by doing things or not doing things. You've been trying to get into heaven. You've been trying to have a relationship with God. You quit doing drugs, or you quit drinking, or you quit smoking, or you whatever. No. You get into heaven. You have a relationship with him by accepting Christ into your heart, by loving him, by accepting his free gift. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what you do. It's what Jesus did on Calvary. Whether you're in this room or online, if you don't know Christ this morning as your Savior, and you've been trying to earn your way into heaven, work your way into heaven, keep the commandments your way into heaven, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. Not that way. The only way is by giving your heart, your life, your will over to Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, I'm going to invite you. In just a moment, we're going to have some music. I'm going to invite you to come forward. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ personally. You're online, contact us. We'd be glad to talk with you. You hear this one, you say, I know I'm a believer. But I know I've been more focused on the commandments than I have on loving him. You want him to come and you want to kneel. You want to kneel right where you are. Lord, I need to love you more. I need for my love for you to grow. I need to get my focus right on loving you. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, I pray today that you'll take it. You'll put it into our hearts, our minds. God, that we'd understand. Not minimizing the importance of obedience. Not minimizing the importance of following your commandments and your word. But God, that be motivated by our love for you. God, speak to our hearts here this morning. For the one that doesn't know you, whether online, whether here, that you'd deal with their heart. God, for the Christian that needs to focus on loving you, God, have your will here today. We'll give you the honor for what you do as we stand together. Lord, I just need to focus on my love for you. I need you to know I love you. I want you to know it. Maybe where you're standing this morning, you just need to bow your head and say, Lord, I just want you to know I love you. We sang that song a while ago. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Lord, I want you to know I love you. And I want that love for you to change me and to transform me. I want it to make me a different person. Thank you for your attention this morning. I'm going to ask you to sit down for just 1 second. A couple things. Just wanted to kind of